For those of you that study Washington, you might appreciate this, that it gets there's ways to do this easy, which means they can be turned over in the next administration, and ways that make it a lot harder for the next administration to turn over. Quite frankly, in any administration, you should be doing both. Because if you only have 4 years, you're not going to do everything permanent and have it just on lockdown for the next administration. You should be doing what is in your interest for what you think needs to be done for the economy. And they've done that. They're doing some permanent streamlining within their executive authorities. But for the longer term, durable stuff, it's embedded in tax reform and appropriations. It takes longer. And they'll have to get it done with about 18 months left in the administration so it can ultimately get litigated in the courts before they walk out of here, if they walk out of here on Inauguration Day. So easier, narrow and temporary, difficult, but broad and enduring. So what have they done so far? They've gotten rid of a fair amount of regulations. All of those that are on there right now are being replaced with something. They're trying to decide on some of these others what they will look like, but this is their map. This is what they're doing. They will get to all of these, some of them on the easy side and some of them on the harder, more durable side. I think you'll see certainly Waters of the U.S., the Clean Power Plan, some of those things will be done in the harder, more durable way. Some of the others will be done in the easier way. Legislation to watch in the energy space. Why do I have tax reform up there? We did it, right? No, we're in the first inning of tax reform. The IRS is just writing the tax rules. And so energy is a big part of that. So watch tax reform from your own companies to your own personal stuff. Watch tax reform, because there's eight more innings to go in tax reform, and certainly at least 4 or 5 more years. What happens with the infrastructure package and what that will mean for energy? There is a Regulatory Accountability Act that is waiting to be put forward in the Senate. What will that do? It's already passed the House. It will permanently reform the regulatory process in this country. I think if this administration leaves and they do that, that will be one of their most enduring changes. It's wonky, nobody gets it, but it is the process by which this country develops its regulatory framework. And that will be fairly significant. They're looking at some of these other things, Endangered Species, Clean Water Act. How can they refine them, make them more transparent, make them more industry friendly, but still upholding their original intent of clean water, clean air, protect flora and fauna. If you listen to Secretary Zinke, who's responsible for a couple of these, he's very intent on that. Whatever you think of Administrator Pruitt, who seems to be in the news every other minute, he does have a certain view of what the Clean Water Act should do, what the state should do, and what the federal government should do. I wanted to close with something because I want us to get talking. Which is, what are we witnessing today? Are we witnessing environmental activism or anti-energy activism today? And it's not, sustainability, it's not efficiency, it's not renewables. The activists that are out there, what are we really seeing? I mean, I was alive in the 1970s. I remember when we had our first big body of environmental law. We needed it. We had dirty air. We had dirty water. It was a problem that needed fixing, and Congress stepped in. We created the EPA. We also did a lot of other things because we were standing in gas lines, but we had a problem. And we now have the Clean Water Act, Safe Water Drinking Act, the Clean Air Act. They were put there for a very good reason, and they have only been refined only slightly. If you can imagine, today in 2018, how much different we look than what we did in 1970. The environment looks different. The industry looks different. The economy looks different. We all are different. And we've got to bring these things up to today's standards. Does Congress want to do that? No. So we have an interesting conundrum. What happened since we passed all of those environmental laws? Well, I think, we tend to forget that we've actually made some progress. We've grown the economy about 150% over the same period of time, between about 1980, when finally everything came into effect, till about last year. We've about doubled the amount of vehicle miles we're traveling in our cars. We have seen our population grow by about 40%. So all those big metric indicators of a healthy economy have been growing. Yet energy consumption has only grown by 25%. So it shows from an energy per capita perspective, we've become so much more efficient. CO2 emissions have not nearly kept pace with energy increases and all of the vehicle miles traveled. Again, a metric of efficiency, technology, innovation, ingenuity. And at the same time, looking at those things that the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, basically the Clean Air Act, were intended to reduce, the big bad pollutants, the SOx, the NOx, particulate matter, are down by 65%. I can tell you when you put that slide up and you talk to our friends in Europe, it makes them crazy because they don't want to admit that we've done anything good for the environment here. And quite frankly, our numbers look better than their numbers on these metrics. So companies are stepping up, right? I mean, you're here in New York, center of Wall Street. I mean, you see a lot of the companies in the S&P 500. I mean, they're reporting on ESG goals. They want to be part of the conversation. They don't want to be the problem. They want to be part of the conversation. They want to prove to their analysts, to their investors, that they're doing the right thing. But here's what we're seeing. You know, out in the, you know, in the field, as they say, they're seeing no mining, no fracking, no power plants, no nuclear, no this, no that. We have Dakota Access and people protesting. We've seen Keystone that went on forever. We don't want a transmission line. We don't want nuclear plants. We don't want anything. You know, it used to be NIMBY, not in my backyard. Now it's build absolutely nowhere, anywhere near anyone, banana. They don't want anything. It's not NIMBYism. It's we don't want to build anything, you know. And if you really talk to some of the most strident activists, whatever their motivation, it's not on planet Earth. And so we're at a place where we have to look out to 2050. We know what the energy demand growth is going to be. We know where it's going to be. We know we're a good actor in this business. And yet we're facing big problems at home, particularly in pipelines. Those are all the pipelines we have today. But all of a sudden, we don't want to build pipelines anymore. We don't want to build pipelines to transport natural gas that is bringing down our emissions. Well, if we don't transport it by pipe, are we going to transport it by rail? I don't think so. I think we're going to revert to other forms of energy. And so the very things that are going to help us continue to be more energy secure and cleaner are the things that people are militating against. And my friends in the environmental community, I just can't get them to. I said, you're not doing yourselves any favors right now. We're on the right pathway. Are we perfect? No. But we need to recognize that things are not going to change overnight. And we're already seeing all these projects being canceled, delayed, or in some way materially harmed. So I leave you with that. I want to get to conversation. I tried to go through it very quickly. Spark some conversation, you know, and are we in the energy business? Do we want to be in the energy business? Because, you know, if we allow what some people call the keep it in the ground movement, we might not be. And what does that mean for us, our economy, our geopolitical standing in the world? And so that's a question for, you know, political leaders. It's a question for the industry. It's a